Morning.
Good morning.
You guys can turn your Bibles, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. A couple things out of the public reading. God's serious about what He says, isn't He? You don't mess around with the way that the Lord has things set up. Now, there's a lot of people in our day who are messing around with the way the Lord has things set up. There's a little difference. This happened in the midst of the assembly. Boom. Instantaneous. There's a day of judgment coming, brethren. And don't think anybody's getting away with it because it looks like they are. It's the same God. You do not change the way that God has set this up. You do? You try to change it? There will be consequences. Character of God is the same. There's a lesson there for all of us to make sure we know the way that God has it set up and continue to do in accordance with that. Now, something else I was thinking of is bad attitudes are tough to get out of, aren't they? I know that by experience a little too. A lot easier to keep a good attitude than to get out of a bad one. But you get in a bad attitude, this is amazing to me. These guys saw the ground open up and swallow these people whole. And they come back the next day complaining again about Moses and Aaron. Like, how many people need to get spanked before you figured this out? You want some too? And the Lord gave it to him. Now, there's one thing I ought to say. This is pretty neat. Aaron took a stand between the dead and the living, didn't he? Brother, we have a high priest. He takes a stand between the dead and the living. Make sure that Jesus stands as your high priest. If He does, the plague is checked. You are in good standing with the Lord. You don't have to be afraid of death. If He doesn't stand as your high priest, I'll just steal some words from Jesus here. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Josh actually preached next week's message for me. So let's just still encourage you to come around, but today we'll wrap up 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I get encouraged, brethren, by the assembly of the saints. How about you guys? John Morantic gets up here and just lays it out straight, and Josh comes up here and talks about motives and, you know, where this really comes from. I get encouraged. Lord's Supper, partaking with you guys, partaking with the Lord, hearing about Austin and Liz and their upcoming marriage is going to be a great example of the marriage of Christ in the church. All this stuff is great, isn't it? God's working through all these things. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's pick it up, verse 28. God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, various kinds of tongues. All are not apostles, are they? All are not prophets, are they? All are not teachers, are they? All are not workers of miracles, are they? All do not have gifts of healings, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? But earnestly desire the greater gifts. And I show you a still more excellent way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do praise You that You are the head of the church. Lord, we are appreciative that just as You began with a physical nation, brought the nation of Israel into existence miraculously by Your power, by Your might. Abraham had Isaac. Isaac had Jacob, and Jacob's name was changed to Israel and became a mighty nation. So, Father, You brought spiritual Israel into existence miraculously. That it was really through the death, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus Christ, that then 10 days later, Father, that You, through Your power, You began the church on the day of Pentecost. That through, as the apostles were immersed with the Holy Spirit, they got to proclaim Your message. And then 3,000 souls heeded the glad tidings. They're obedient to the gospel through their repentance and immersion into Jesus Christ. And Father, you from there continued your church to grow and move forward. And since then, Father, has continued to move and spread throughout the whole world. We ask, Father, that today I ask that you be with me as I preach your word, that I'll be able to communicate it clearly, that we would all remember, recognize that we do have a purpose in your body, that we also would understand the importance of leadership within your church, and that we would make sure that we understand that, have the proper attitudes, both as those who are leaders and as those who have another place in the body, that we would obey our leaders. Father, for future leaders, that we would understand the way that you give these leaders to the church. I ask this all through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to go back here and read a few verses earlier. I will say this. Last week we saw the Lord does put together the body just as He desires, doesn't He? This is a key point. Jesus is the head of the church. And not a Catholic Pope. And not a pastor in the Lord's church. It's not an evangelist. Jesus is the head of the church. This says, the sign out there says Church of Christ. It doesn't say Church of Luke. I answered the phone some years back, and I think I accidentally answered it. Luke's church, this is Christ speaking. Whoops, no. Christ's church, this is Luke speaking. Let's get this right. Jesus is the head of the church, isn't He? He is over all. He brings then the members of the body together just as He desires. And we talked about this last week. It's not our place to question the line that God has set up as to how we get into Christ. It's not our place to impute unrighteousness or base things to members of the body. If God places them here, they're here on His terms. He has a purpose for them. That means for me personally, you personally, and that means for our neighbors, okay, within the body. We work through that. So I want you to go back with me to chapter 12, verses 4 through 6. So now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. And we can see the role of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit in this. The Spirit distributes certain gifts. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. I'm going to do a quick review because I don't want us to get confused about this. But these gifts of the Holy Spirit, they were given by the Holy Spirit just as He willed through the laying on of the apostles' hands. It's the Spirit who was doing that. We see that the Son, the Lord, has varieties of ministries. Okay? The Son gives various ministries. And we see that the Father, He's the power source behind this whole thing. And if you continue to read through 1 Corinthians 12, you see this connection, interconnection, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. By one Spirit, we were all immersed into one body, weren't we? Right. Only one way into the body of Christ. That's through immersion into Christ. But the Spirit is the one then who allows that transfer to take place. That's why Jesus would say, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And again, we see the body is that of Jesus Christ, and we see God is in charge of all of this. So, real quick, I want to talk about these gifts of the Spirit. They're mentioned in verses 8 through 10. I'm not going to go back over those too much, but I will say this. Gifts, things like gifts of healing, gifts of miracles, gifts of tongues, gifts of interpretation of tongues. I even want to venture out here and remind you guys, there was a special gift of knowledge, wasn't there? There was a special gift of wisdom. There was a special gift of faith. All these were necessary in the absence of the completed Scriptures. Josh wants knowledge today. Where does he go? He goes and reads his Bible with a great attitude while still being nice to his wife. Okay, but that's not a special gift of knowledge, is it? That's knowledge that we get a certain way. How about faith? How does faith come? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And there's a conjunction, a connection between prayer and increase of our faith as well. So those things aren't gifts because we have these scriptures available to us. But those were special gifts prior to that that were given. Gift of healings. I challenge anybody that claims to be a faith healer. I don't buy it. I've seen some. Go and check them out. I've seen the big boys. There is no... Is God still able to heal? Yes. But nobody living right now has the ability to heal you through the laying on of their hands or thumping you in the forehead or whatever they do. It doesn't work. Those gifts aren't present anymore. We saw that the only way those gifts were given was through the laying on of the apostles' hands. Acts chapter 8 bears that out. Simon the magician saw that this was given through the laying on of the apostles' hands. He was wowed by that. He even offered money to have that power. We continue to check through the scriptures. Yes, every time we say that these gifts are given, it's after apostles laid hand on somebody that they have these gifts. We saw the purpose of them. Purpose of those gifts. First and foremost, to confirm the word that was being spoken was true. And secondly, for the establishment of local congregations in the absence of the completed scriptures. And then we also see, and Josh actually just started to read into this in 1 Corinthians 13, there was a point in time that these would be done away with. They were there. They were temporary. They were there to help the church in our infancy be able to grow up. But now with the completed scriptures, we don't have that need anymore. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 8 through 13, that explains all of that. And so we see that those were temporary things. Now today I want to work on another group of gifts. Some of them are touched on here in the end of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, where we read, God is appointed in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, and then some of those other gifts that were mentioned that we saw were temporary. I want you to go with me to Ephesians chapter 4. The Lord's given every one of us special abilities. Many of these things, guys, really are, many of them are set at birth. We talk about personality. And there are things you can do to develop parts of your personality, even change aspects of your personality. But many of these things are actually resident within us at birth. Certainly by 5 years old. There are a lot that's set. They say 80% of who you are is set by 5 years old. I wouldn't be surprised if it's higher than that. Again, this isn't to... I don't want you to misunderstand. With the power of the Holy Spirit, we can overcome any sort of character stuff. But personality is stuff that God gives to us. I want you to think for a second, the Apostle Paul would say that while he was in his mother's womb, he was set apart. He was set apart as an apostle while he was yet in his mother's womb. This is long before this guy chose to become a Christian. God designed him a certain way. We look and we see that. Most of us know we got some things we're just naturally good at. We have some things that we're naturally not so good at. Maybe a few of us are good at everything. It's not me. I know that. But those are things that... who are you going to give credit to that for? I think every good thing, every perfect gift is from above, isn't it? Coming down from the Father of life. God makes us a certain way. And so, no matter what organization that we see in this world, there is something that's required. It's called leadership. It has to be leadership within an organization. Understand, first and foremost, that God should be the head of everything. Certainly we see Jesus Christ is the head of the church. We see it prophetically. We see it throughout the New Testament. One of the prophetic verses coming to my mind is Isaiah chapter 9, right? The government shall rest on His shoulders. Jesus is in charge of the church. Jesus should be the head of every one of our families. He is Lord of this house. But in the family, is there a leadership structure that God still has set up? Yes. The man is the spiritual leader of the household. That's the way God has it set up. Wives are next. Children, you're last. You're not leaders yet. And, well, hopefully you have some leadership for your younger siblings. But this is the way that God has this set up. In the Lord's church, God also provides leaders. You guys know, in the workforce, if there's no leadership, not much gets done. On a team, if there's no leadership, not much gets done. I'm going to use this example. You can have a team with great coaches, but you hear those coaches, and they'll say that some years when they're really great, it's because of they'll talk about internal leaders on that team. You'll hear them other times where they're struggling, we're still trying to find some leaders on the team. Aren't the coaches the leaders? They are, but there has to be internal leadership, right? So Jesus is the coach, if you will. There still have to be internal leaders on the team, and God's looking for those. It's a gift. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll just pick it up in verse 10. He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. And Jesus has given gifts of leadership to His church. Does Jesus care about this local congregation right here in Billings, Montana? Yes, He does. Is He interested in providing what we need for us to be able to carry out the mission that He's given to us? Surely He is. And so, these leadership offices we see include apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. I want to just briefly go through these. Apostles. Josh mentioned all are not apostles. Are they? Apostles were those specifically sent out by Jesus Christ. The word apostolos means one sent out. They were ones specifically commissioned by Jesus to carry out His mission. He actually commissioned them while He was still on earth. We think of the 12. Right? And Judas, we know he chose to opt out of that plan. And there was a replacement. End of Acts. Acts chapter 1. There's a replacement for him, a guy named Matthias. And then there's another guy. This guy was, he said, as it were, to one untimely born. Christ appeared to him also. This guy was chosen as an apostle to the Gentiles. He was chosen by Jesus after Jesus had ascended to heaven. That's the apostle Paul. Actually, go with me to Acts chapter 26. Show you real quickly. Acts chapter 26, verse 15, this is Saul, before his name changed to Paul, said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Verse 16 of Acts 26 says, "But arise and stand on your feet. For this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you a minister and a witness, not only the things which you have seen, but also the things in which I will appear to you." The apostles, every one of them, eyewitnesses of Jesus' ministry on earth. Now Paul, because he didn't get to see that as an eyewitness, God made him a witness by revelation. God showed him everything. And so we can have the apostle Paul say, talk about the Lord's Supper, and that which was delivered to him is exactly the same message that's given in the gospel accounts. Paul got this directly from the Lord. So, apostles, they are no longer present. Unless you can find one of those original guys. They're not here anymore. And that office does not continue on. How about prophets? We talked, one of those gifts was a gift of prophecy, wasn't it? That was done away with the laying on of the apostles' hands. There were New Testament prophets. These guys got stuff by revelation. Again, I'll challenge anybody today that says they're getting revelation directly from God. I don't doubt that they're getting something from somewhere. I mean, some of them, I think, are. Some of them are just, they're taking their stand on visions they've seen inflated without cause by their fleshly mind. Okay? I think that's where the majority of them are. Some of them probably getting something from somewhere. You listen to some of these satanic rock singers, they'll tell you they go into a trance and they write some of their music. That's not the power of the Holy Spirit. That's no divine revelation. I don't question they're getting some revelation from somebody. But revelation as a prophet is no longer here today. Actually, I don't have time to go into all this, but let's look at Ephesians chapter 2 real quickly while we're here. Ephesians 2, verse 19, says, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of God's household." Now listen to this. "Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself being the cornerstone." So Jesus is the cornerstone. He's put into place. And He said something that He calls the foundation of the apostles and prophets. In chapter 3 of Ephesians, He's going to explain that further. These guys made known the revelation of this mystery. Hey guys, do we still have the foundation of the apostles and prophets, even if they're not present? We do right here, don't we? Everything that those New Testament prophets said that God wanted recorded, right here. Same with the apostles. You check out, you read through the New Testament, and you'll see that theme over and over again. Okay? Remember the things given to us by the holy apostles and prophets. Okay? We got that foundation. What about evangelists, pastors, and teachers? I want to talk about them also a little bit. Evangelists, preachers, those who are particularly commissioned to get the word out, okay? To preach the word in season and out of season. Okay? Those that have a responsibility to set in order local congregations. Okay? And those who have a responsibility to actually help prepare for the future leaders that are coming up. Actually, go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. By the way, scripturally, this is what I am. I'm an evangelist. I am not a pastor. We'll get to pastors in a second. Okay? Sometimes people want to call me Pastor Luke. Okay? I understand if you don't know, but I'm not a pastor, scripturally. There are qualifications for scriptural pastors and elders. I'm not going to have time to preach on those today, but I do not meet those qualifications. Actually, just my age, my station in life, the age of my kids, impossible for me too. And I'm not so sure that's my personality anyways. But 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I got to speed through this. I'm going to jump down to... I'll read verses 1 and 2 and then jump down to verse 5. "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, by His appearing in His kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction." Jump down with me to verse 5. "But you be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." So, these guys are responsible for an evangelistic push. By the way, on any team, there has to be a leader, a pusher. There has to be a go-to guy in that sense when it comes down to scoring. Every good team has one. It doesn't mean that anybody is less important on that team. But every team has one. Every good team has one. If they don't, there's a hole there. The Lord is providing these to the body of Christ so that we can carry out His work. What about pastors? Pastors are not preachers. It doesn't mean they don't preach. They do. Scripture says those who work hard at preaching and teaching are worthy of double honor. But pastors are actually the elders who shepherd the flock. 1 Peter chapter 5. Beginning in verse 1. "Therefore I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder, and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock." Elders, responsibility, shepherd the flock. It's interesting, the Lord relates people to sheep. Sheep aren't always the smartest critters. Neither are people, in case you haven't noticed. Sometimes, without some shepherding, sheep will killed themselves. It's true. Without some shepherding, people will kill themselves spiritually. And so there's a need for shepherds within the body of Christ. We had lots of new Christians. Lots of people immersed into Christ in the last couple of years. And that's awesome. Some of them are struggling big time, aren't they? Some are hurting. Some of them don't necessarily, maybe they've opted out inside, they don't want to do this. But some of them, they just need some good shepherding. Friend, there's a hole in this body. We don't have scriptural elders. Do you think the Lord's interested in raising those guys up? Think the Lord's interested in providing those for this congregation? Yes, I'm confident on this from the Scriptures. We will not be able to completely, effectively do what God wants us to do without elders. Now, we're not going to fast forward this program, by the way. We're not going to appoint some guys just because we've got to fill some slots. These are gifts God gives to the church. I'll come back to that in a second. There's some participation in our part to make sure we're doing that. We're not just going to wait for God to throw one in our lap. That doesn't work that way either. But these are gifts God gives. Elders rule within the congregation. Is there ever a time that there has to be some serious rebuking that takes place? Sometimes there has to be. I understand the point that Josh was making in reference with his son. And that's the way I try to typically lead with my kids and with people. But there are sometimes, and my guess is Josh is a dad, there are sometimes you do have to go and you have to take some of the back room and do a little discipline. Brother, there's times in the body of Christ we need that. There's times I've needed that. There's times that I know many of you, some of you have been the receiving end of that from me. It's a part of something that needs done. The elders ultimately have that responsibility within the Scriptures for that to take place. They ensure that the brethren are growing and then going out for evangelism. And then teachers. Teachers are men who have a special ability by God to expound upon the Scriptures. Men who also lead by example. And they encourage stricter judgment because of the serious nature of what they do. James chapter 3, verse 1 says, "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we shall incur stricter judgment." There's responsibility for teachers. Now, I'm thankful for a guy like Mr. Simpson. Sometimes I'm trying to teach, and while I'm trying to teach, I start preaching. There is a difference. There is a difference. Like, Mr. Simpson's very thorough. It goes through and slows it down and brings out some of those details. You need guys like that. And you know what, Mr. Simpson also, he's a good teammate. When it comes time for, sometimes Kevin and I have to make some tough calls and do some tough things together, he's a guy I want by my side. And Kevin isn't just a yes man, although most of the time we do agree on things from the Scripture, and we should. But there's responsibility, and the Lord supplies these members to the body just as He desires. What is the purpose of church leadership? Primary purpose is listed in Ephesians chapter 4. It's to equip the saints for the work of service. I've actually known evangelists. I'm not going to call them that. I've known pulpit preachers who actually discourage people leading personal Bible studies with the lost. Because they're afraid somebody might do more than them, maybe. And they might lose their place. I'm serious. That is not the purpose of church leadership, is to equip the saints to do this work. But as God places each member in the body, this body, a resurrected church that cannot be stopped by the devil, and it is lined up soldiers, shoulder to shoulder. Long row and deep. And we all march on. This isn't a few people doing it all. This is everybody doing their part. And the church leadership has a responsibility to equip us so that we can do our part. And that's the primary purpose. I veered way off of my notes, so I got to figure out how to tie it back in and close this up. We know apostles and prophets. We have them here, but they're not here in person anymore. Evangelists, pastors, and teachers, there's still a need to preach the Word. It's still necessary to shepherd the local congregation. It will always be essential to teach faithful men who will, in turn, teach others. In all of these offices, Christ is supplying the internal leadership for His body. With these gifts, that's what I want to get to. This is really what I work on for closing. With these gifts, I'm going to back it up for a second. We're going to see over the next couple chapters of 1 Corinthians, these gifts of the Holy Spirit, like gifts of tongues and interpretation of tongues and gifts of prophecy, they could be used. They could be not, let me put it this way, they could be not used at all. They could be misused, or they could be used appropriately. That's the more excellent way we'll be getting to, is using them appropriately. The same is true of these gifts that God gives to the church. They can be not used at all, which isn't right. They can be misused. We've seen a lot of that historically in the church. People abusing positions. That's not, at that point in time, these aren't people, you don't just blindly follow them. The authority is the Scriptures. And what was the other one that I said? Or they can be used appropriately to equip the saints for us to be able to get this work done. And God provides them for this purpose. And so I want you guys to think about something. Scriptural pattern. Here. With these gifts, God expects spiritual people, first of all, to be able to recognize people that have these. How many of you guys here are into basketball enough that you understand the game? Dante? Okay. But do you recognize a point guard when you see one? That guy's a good point guard, right? And you're not going to mistake the big bruising center underneath for the point guard. There's a difference. You see that. We spiritual people, God expects us to be able to recognize these. The scriptural pattern for these offices, there is a difference between this. I want to pick on John here for a second. If I was an apostle and I laid my hands on John, the Spirit gave him one of these gifts, one of these spiritual gifts, as the Spirit willed. I had no input in that except to lay hands on this guy. Then the Spirit maybe gave him the gift of tongues. Don't do it now if you don't got an interpreter present. That's the way this worked. This gift is different, isn't it? If you look at it scripturally, there's a pattern in these other gifts, these gifts of church leadership. Let these guys be tested. It should be evident. They're growing. Use it, and then they are appointed by other church leadership. Again, I don't have time to preach through all of this, all the details of this morning. But there is a key point I want you to understand. Let them first be tested. I asked my brother Matt. I told you guys last week I'm not handy at all. My brother Matt is. I had concerns about a guy that was trying to do some construction stuff, and it's like trying to do his own business. I said, I just don't think this guy's ready for this. I said, And Matt said, I just got one question for you. He said, how many side jobs is the guy doing on his own right now? Do you understand the point of that question? Whether a guy's working for himself yet or not, if he's working for somebody else, but he's able to be his own boss, then this guy has lots of side jobs and he's already being successful in them. The relationship, in terms of leadership within the Lord's church, you're not going to hire somebody to come and be a preacher. Shouldn't do that. It's not the way it works. There should be guys that have proven their willingness to go and get Bible studies and be solid in their teaching of them. To get those Bible studies to expand and then grow. The teachers, there are guys that have proven their ability to teach thoroughly. Guys that they bring into the body of Christ are sound in their doctrine. People are interested. They can keep an audience. They're honing their communication skills. These are guys that are tested. Elders. We know what the scripture qualifications are. There's a lot of work. There's training within your family. You get lazy and you don't train up your family the way you should, you are not ready to be an elder in the Lord's church. If you don't have time to answer your kids' questions or to help solve some of your kids' problems, how are you going to have time to help all these kids when they have problems? If you don't care enough to do that. So the Lord has these things set up a certain way. And He expects us to recognize them. Not everybody's an evangelist. Not everybody's an elder. Not everybody's a teacher. If you don't have one of these gifts from God, don't worry about that. You got some other ones. We preached about that last week. But if you do, I want to get this right. If you aspire to the office of overseer, Scripture says it's a fine work you desire to do. You need to prepare diligently, don't you? You need to lead by example. All this leadership stuff, it's all by example, by the way. Probably hit that some in 1 Timothy on this Wednesday night. If you're an evangelist in waiting, what you should be doing, you should be faithfully preaching the Word, shouldn't you? Getting those studies, keeping them, expanding them. If you have the ability and are willing to accept the extra accountability that comes with being a teacher, study hard. Get those communication skills. Keep leading individual studies as well as group studies. Lord's given you this gift, so use it. I want to close this morning by reminding you there's a contrast here. These gifts of the Holy Spirit, they were given only through the laying on of the apostles' hands. They were temporary. They're for a short-term purpose until the completion of the Scriptures. Now that the Scriptures have been completed, that there is still a need for leadership within the body of Christ. Some of you probably know you got these abilities. They've been given to you from God. Some of you have been given to them from birth. I think there's some evangelists in waiting in this congregation. I think there's some elders, some future elders right here in this congregation. There better be. What are you doing, though, with that? Are you going to make full use of that for the Lord? Gifts God's given to the church. What if we don't use what God's given to us for His glory? Does God have a problem with that? If we use it to go and be successful in the world, and we leave the church with holes, I don't think we're going to be able to give a good accounting to the Lord for that. So each one of us, we do need to think about what we got in the body of Christ. Make sure we're using that for His honor, for His glory. And next week, you guys will hear Josh's message again. I show you is still more excellent. There is a certain attitude. There's a, well, love. If there is no love, it doesn't matter what skills or abilities you got. Love is key, and we'll get into that next week. Let's stand. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do praise Your great name. We're thankful for Your wisdom. We're thankful for Your preparation. We're thankful for Your teaching. We're thankful for Your discipline. Father, we're even thankful for when You use imperfect people to perfect us. We are interested. We have as our greatest ambition, Lord, to be pleasing to You. We want to be just like You. We want that peaceful fruit of righteousness. Lord, we want, as Brother John was talking about this morning, we want that wisdom that comes down from above. It's pure. Pure motives. We know then the seed then whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Father, help us to put You first in everything. To bring what we have to Your table. Lord, the gifts that You've given to us, help us not to squander them. Help us not to take that talent and chunk of money, bury it in the ground. Help us to take it, use it, gain more to Your honor and to Your glory. Lord, I like the way that You have this set up. We do things Your way. We see victories. And those victories, Father, all abound to the glory of You. And they will echo throughout all of eternity. May we be excited and be challenged to step up to do our part, to make sure that we do use what you've given to us. As Brother John said, help us to invest. This includes money, but we know it's not limited to. Help us to invest what we have in the one kingdom that lasts forever. Bless us all through the name of King Jesus. Amen. I have decided.